This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. I just love the name Juno Ghost Light Theater, such a unique name for a theater company with a reputation for adventurous, edgy productions like their upcoming Mix Cast. And here to tell us about that, we have Skiba Wati and Heather Laverne with Juno Ghost Light Theater. Well, Heather, I want to start off with you. And once again, remind us where the name Ghost Light Theater comes from.
Juno Ghost Light Theater comes from the theater tradition of the ghost light, which is a light, a physical light that you put on the stage when the theater is not in use. And we decided to call our theater that because we do not have our own physical theater location. So we ask that other venues in town leave the ghost light on for us so that we can perform there when they aren't using it.
That's kind of beautiful, isn't it? That Juno has many theater companies and they all sort of work in harmony with one another. That's really cool. But this, and they each have their own special features like Mixcast. So Skiba, I want to ask you, how did this Mixcast thing get started? Because it truly is one of the favorite events of Juno.
Yeah, so this event started a few years ago. I produced it in 2020, right before, in the before times. And now I'm doing it again this year. And this event was just started as a way to give performers another chance to perform. It's a pretty low-key event as far as rehearsal time goes. So it tends to be an easy way for, all these performers in Juno to just kind of get a chance to get out there and do something a little bit out of their normal realm. Because the whole point is that they're singing songs they wouldn't normally ever get to sing in a show.
So, can you elaborate a little more on the concept of Mixcast? Because I guess that's truly the engaging thing about it, is seeing somebody truly act.
Absolutely. So when I reached out to performers this year, the way I describe it to them is essentially this is a show where you're going to pick a song and a character from a musical that you would never be typecasted to perform in. So for many people, that's gender. It can be age. It can be some physical attribute that maybe they don't have, that they would never be seen on stage as that role. Age, anything really. And so it just gives people a chance to explore those boundaries.
And isn't it fun just to see somebody do something that's totally out of their personality? Can you think of some moments from the past that stand out that just thrilled the crowd?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. We have some absolutely fantastic performers. One that's coming to my mind right now was in 2020 when we had, I'm going to throw his name out there, Mike Gamble, performed a song from The Little Mermaid. He was Ursula, and it was just so funny. And we had a couple other performers up there. Richard Carter was his Ariel. And, this night allows for some improvisation. Because of that lack of rehearsal time, it really gives folks that opportunity to improvise a bit. And so there's always chances for humor. And that's what stands out to me, is that there's a lot of laughter in this night. And there's also just so much talent.
And that is really exciting to be able to see all this talent that is encompassed in one community. But that has got to be tough, Hetty. I know that you turn up in a lot of the productions that they're just, for all the talent, there isn't enough opportunity to perform, I would imagine.
That is true. I'm always discovering new people whenever I go to different shows, and I'm like, how come I've never seen them before? Or I'll see them in a way in which I haven't seen them on stage, but they're getting an opportunity to sing in something like this, Mixcast, and they've never been in a play before, but I'm like, this person should be on stage more. And so I feel like Juno is an extremely talented community. It's kind of beautiful.
But what is it about Mixcast? Where is its place in this pantheon of performances?
I feel like Mixcast is a show that allows Juno audiences to really see the versatility that the Juno talent has, because it's very easy to get typecast in this town. I feel like you know, you go to a show and you're like, oh, so-and-so is in this, and they're playing a character that you've kind of seen them play before. You're like, he'll be good or she'll be good because I know that I've seen them do this before. But this show gives people the opportunity to see their favorites and new talent do something that they've never done. And that's an opportunity you don't get very often.
And it's kind of a mix of cabaret, isn't it? Cabaret and drama and music all rolled into one.
Yes, we have a wonderful accompanist. Rob Cohen is going to be there playing live piano. And it's really just that raw music, piano and singer just belting it out to the crowd. And that's kind of the cabaret side of it.
So what role does the crowd have in all of this?
Well, they have to come and they have to be open to kind of using their imaginations in a way that they don't necessarily do very often. There's that, you know, these are all almost always from either Disney movies or musicals, primarily musicals. And so if you know the song and you know the story, you're going to have an idea of who is supposed to play this part. So to see someone else outside of what you would originally think singing the song, you get to really stretch yourself as well. And the audience, they're a huge part of it because we wouldn't be able to put it on without them.
So Skiba, does the audience feed off of the actors, performers, and vice versa?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my goodness. And this year we have two fantastic MCs, Erica Lee and Joshua Midget, and their energy level is out of this world. And so they have a big part in that as well, in engaging the audience, having some banter with folks. And this year we're performing at the Red Dog Saloon. And so that gives our performers kind of a little bit more of an up close and personal experience with the audience as well. A little bit more interaction if they so choose with whatever song they're performing. It also gives them the opportunity to kind of walk amongst the crowd. We have that availability there with their sound system and the way it's going to be set up for us. So definitely, it goes both ways.
So there's interaction between the two.
Yeah.
So what about the COVID issues? I mean, it's great to have an in-person performance, but I imagine that you do have to take some steps.
Yes. Yeah. This is our first in-person event since the shutdown. So this is our first time dipping our toe back in. We switched to radio for a while, if anybody heard our radio plays that we've done. But yes, we are taking some precautions. We are asking the audiences to mask when they aren't actively eating and drinking. And we are requiring vaccinated audiences just to protect each other and our performers.
And that said, I was looking online to see what the ticket availability was for this and was surprised that they're getting snapped up. I mean, are people going to be able to get a seat when they hear us talk about this wonderful event? Are they going to get disappointed?
Well, so we have sold out our pre-sale limit, and that number was discussed with the Red Dog Saloon. But in more discussion, we do have some availability for more seating. It's important to me to kind of give folks enough seating areas as well, so they're not just standing for the entire show necessarily. So we are upping our ticket sales, and we're going to do that at the door. So that being said, the night of the shows are at 6:30 and 9 p.m. Doors will open about a half an hour before that, and we'll be selling about 15 to 20 more tickets at the door. So if you don't get them online, we recommend that you get there early and we can try to get you in to see the show, because we definitely want the house to feel nice and full and have that energy really booming in there.
So as far as the ticket sales go and things like that, is there any online opportunity to watch this? Will this be recorded and then maybe shown again on demand? I know some of the organizations have been doing that.
We haven't discussed that as an organization. We have never done anything like that before, and we are a very small theater organization. We're very bare bones in that regard. I don't think this could change this week, and we will definitely on social media let our folks know and send out emails. But as of now, we are not necessarily planning on recording the entire event. That being said, performers are welcome to record their own songs. But as of now, we are not planning to show this online. That could change.
just hold on. Stay tuned with that. So
yeah.
I guess people are wondering what you predict may be the crowd thrillers this year. Anything so far? Give us a sort of a heads up on what to keep an eye out for?
I'm so excited. I have the whole set list ready to go. This is the first year ever too that we're doing some larger group numbers. So we actually have some like choreography, some dancing. I gave our MCs a song to sing too. Which is a little bit different. We actually have three group numbers that we're doing, and we're trying to keep them a little bit of a secret, but one of them is kind of a big song from Mulan, and it is typically sung by an all-male cast, and our casts are either female or non-binary singing the song. And then we also have a song from Chicago the Musical that is a group number that is going to be done by an all-male cast of characters. And both of these songs are songs that you will know. Even if you don't think you know musical theater, you'll know these songs.
Well, there is something irreverent, isn't there, about taking a well-known song and sort of playing with it. Do you think that's what people enjoy?
Yeah, it's really fun to see how the meaning can change if a person singing it isn't necessarily the type it's written for, especially if you swap gender up, it can feel like it's coming from a different perspective. So it is really fun because you may have heard the song before, but maybe you will get something different out of it if it's sung by a different artist.
Well, you mentioned, you know, that your theater company struggles financially. I mean, that you can't do as much as you'd like to do. You are sort of, I guess, the little theater company that could, right? But it looks like you've got some productions up in the works.
Yes. So this particular production is essentially a fundraiser. So we always welcome donations from people to help us. And in April, we're going to be putting on the Insomniacs, which we have done quite a few times. I think that's what we're most known for. We've done it probably close to 5 or 6 times since I've been on the board in 2013. And we're actually partnering this time with Theater in the Rough. They are co-sponsoring it with us, and we are combining our theater companies so that we're going to have people who usually perform with them and people who usually perform with us working together. And we're really excited about that partnership. And then the fundraising from this event and from Insomniacs will hopefully go toward our fall production. We're going to do another full-length show, so we're very excited about that.
So I know that your last radio play, Dracula, was a big hit, and it only aired once, I believe.
It did, and we've talked about airing it again. We have to figure out the logistics and if people want it, but if they would like to hear it again, we would love to share it because we had a lot of fun putting that together.
And you had a lot of great sound effects for that, too. I mean, that was an art in and of itself. But so do you have any plans in the future for more radio theater?
Yes, the person on our board who has produced the last two is interested in doing another one. And I don't know if she's picked a date yet, but I know that she is talking about some ideas. And I think she's leaning toward a comedy this time, which could be really fun. But I think she wants to do it in the spring or early summer. And then we're talking about potentially doing another one in October around Halloween again, like we did with Dracula.
So I want to ask both of you. The radio play was kind of a response to COVID, something to do where you didn't have to be in person to practice and that audiences could listen on the radio in the comfort of their living room. What have you learned out of COVID as we come out of the pandemic, hopefully? Are you bringing some things, some knowledge that you didn't have before?
I think personally, I've learned that really there's no limit to our imagination. You know, we saw ourselves as a theater that could put on 1 to 2 full-length shows a year and a couple of fundraisers. And once we couldn't do that in person anymore, we were like, can we do anything? What can we do safely? And this idea of radio theater came up, and we realized that, you know, everyone in this community is willing to be artistic in any way that they can. And if you want to do something and you care about it and you're passionate about it, you will be able to do it. And it doesn't matter what the limitations are, you will find ways around them.
But now you have a whole new area that really wasn't developed before, the radio theater. So, Skiba, what are your thoughts on growth over these past 2 years?
I think Hetty answered it perfectly. And I guess what I take away from it as far as performers that I've worked with in Juneau and my own personal experience is that, yeah, there's no limit to what we can do if we put our brains to work, you know, just work together as a team. We can really create some amazing things. And I think we showed that with the radio play and some new things, and just keep pushing ahead and, you know, take these amazing opportunities, any opportunity to perform and showcase new talent, old talent, everything, you know, just give people an equal chance.
So I'm curious, because we are now easing back into in-person productions, and of course, Brothers Paranormal from Perseverance Theater is currently in production and runs through the beginning of March. And then, of course, we just had this Romeo Wolf Song extravaganza with orchestral music, choirs, opera with a libretto narration for some of the music. I mean, it was just so amazing. But anyway, I just want to ask you, what are your thoughts about has either one of you gone to see Brothers Paranormal, and what are your thoughts about it?
I went to see Brothers Paranormal on opening night. And first of all, I'm extremely grateful for the environment that Perseverance has created with considering the safety of the audience. I feel like they really considered what people need to get back into the theater just to feel comfortable. So I was really grateful to see that. But the show itself was just a whole different level. The lighting design and the set design and special effects that they did on that stage were so cool and something that I just really never seen before. And the actors that they got, there were quite a few I'd never seen. And it was really special to see Leslie Ishii and her kind of Perseverance acting debut, to my knowledge. I know that she's directed, but I had not seen her act before. And she was just so wonderful. And yeah, it was just wonderful to be back in that space among people who love theater.
Yeah, people talk about having missed that space. And they did scatter the audience. So it wasn't like a totally full house, but it was, I went, and like you, I was delighted with Leslie Ishii, who I know is Japanese, but she did a good job of playing a Thai mother.
She was phenomenal,
to the hill. But all of the actors just did a wonderful job. How about you, Skiba? Now, I understand that you went to the Romeo Wolf Song concert, or did you take part in that project?
Yeah, I took part in that. So I sang in the first act with Vox Borealis. I had a little mini solo. It was really fun. And, you know, that group of singers that I've had the chance to sing with multiple times, a lot of them, just so talented. The Almaga Chamber Orchestra, Todd Hunt, you know, they just worked so hard to create something that incorporated so many different aspects of art. You know, there were the modern dancers, there were the singers, there were the two different orchestras, and of course the audiovisual behind with those wonderful images projected. And it was absolutely fantastic. And and the safety measures as well were fantastic. You know, us singers, we were able to sing on stage without a mask, which is great. And, you know, the audience had proper precautions, and it really was a fantastic show. And they did a great job as well of getting folks to come. And I think Juno's ready to come to in-person productions again. I think people have missed that.
Well, that's good to hear you both say that. And good luck with your trial float there, bringing in-person performance back in a new way to Juno. Thank you so much. And I want to thank both
you.
Of you. Skiba Wati and Hetty Laverne with Ghostlight Theaters. Thanks for coming on our program and to tell us about this upcoming night, this Saturday, of homegrown entertainment. Thanks.